So as I said a moment ago, my name's Carl. I work just down the road for an insurance broker called RK Harrison, part-time, and I work part-time for the Word One-to-One, which is the charity that provides the little books, the resource that you've got on your chairs. And it's my pleasure to be here with you today. But before I speak to you, can I just read the passage that I'd like us to look at to help us see what we're looking at today? And it's on page 888 of the Church Bibles, and it's John chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 25 to 36. So that's page 888, starting at John 3, verse 25. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who is with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he's baptizing and all are going to him." John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." So as Phil said, over these next three lunchtimes, we're thinking about the power of the words of Jesus, and we're focusing on sharing his words with our colleagues. And we should be unashamed in talking about sharing the Bible, and unashamed in urging one another to be Bible sharers. Because to know and trust Jesus is the most important thing in the world, and it's the best thing in the world. To see why, please look again at verse 36 of our passage, which is the heart of the Christian message. So please do look down. It says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." So it's only through belief in Jesus that escape from the wrath of God is available, meaning anyone who does not believe in Jesus is under God's wrath. But Jesus doesn't just offer escape from God's wrath, which alone would be the greatest news in the world. But to those who believe, he gives much, much more, the glorious gift of eternal life. This is why knowing Jesus is both vital and wonderful. And this is why we should want to share the Bible with our colleagues. And if you're here today, and actually you know you don't yet trust the Lord Jesus, and you're just looking into Christian things, it's great to have you here. And I hope that seeing this verse makes you see why, well, actually you should want someone to share the Bible with you. Because if belief in Jesus is the key, then it makes sense to give him a hearing. And this is what the Bible enables us to do. And the four Gospels, so Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, well, these are the best place to start, as their eyewitness accounts of the life, death and resurrection of Jesus. Real history recorded by real people about a real person, God's eternal King walking the earth. And today's talk, well, it comes from the Gospel of John. And in it, we're going to look at a person called John the Baptist. And my prayer is John the Baptist will encourage us to be Bible sharers, or to want to have the Bible shared with us, as he proves the importance of hearing straight from Jesus. And John teaches us how we as Christians can help people to do this if we copy his mindset, which is summed up in verse 30 of our passage. Please have a look down. John the Baptist says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Which gives us our main point today, which is Jesus and his word are so powerful, we must point to Jesus and not to ourselves. Or put more simply, we must get out the way and allow Jesus to speak. So let's take a look at the passage to find out more. So right up front in verse 25, we see this discussion taking place between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And it gets to the point where they need to come to their teacher, John the Baptist, for clarification. But before we see what they ask him, these two verses show us that John the Baptist was a pretty big deal. Because we see he's got his own disciples, or followers. And they refer to him as rabbi, meaning teacher. And actually, if we'd started in chapter 1, this wouldn't surprise us at all. Chapter 1 shows us John was a big deal. All had been coming to him to be baptized. The religious leaders had sent people to check him out. And he was so amazing, he had to tell them that he wasn't the Christ. He was just here to point people to the Christ, to let the world know that God's King was here. This was his job, and he did it faithfully, declaring publicly in chapter 1 as he pointed to Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And if we jump back now into our scene in chapter 3, well, we can see he's still getting stuck into his job. Because as the disciples and the Jew they're chatting with come to him, clearly confused by what's going on down the river, asking, "Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he's baptizing and all are going to him." It's quite a moment in human history, isn't it? Just picture it for a minute. In the Judean countryside, Jesus and his disciples baptizing, as John and his disciples look on from another part of the water, also baptizing. Yet doesn't their question show the impact John's ministry had? We learn all are going to Jesus. Yet these disciples, they're still hanging around, seemingly confused or upset that all are going to Jesus. It's like they're thinking, "Hang on a minute, John, you had a good ministry. You were hugely popular. But now everyone's going to him down the river. If you keep pointing people to him, you'll have nothing left to do." And the response of John in the next few verses is wonderful. Please look at verse 27. John says, "A person cannot receive anything unless it is given to him from heaven." And I think here John is talking about the gift of his own ministry, which he reminds them of in verse 28. Please look down. He reminds them he's been clear he's not the Christ, but was sent before him to bear witness to him. This was the gift that John had received. This remarkable ministry of pointing people to Jesus. And then he explains in verse 29 and verse 30 what a joy this is to him. Using the example of bride, bridegroom, and the best man. And this example is straight from the Old Testament, where in the Old Testament God's people are often referred to as the bride, and the bride will be wedded to God's eternal King, who is the bridegroom. So John's clear again that Jesus is the King, the bridegroom, and John is playing the role of best man. And there's no bigger delight for the best man than knowing that the bride is with the bridegroom. This is what brings true joy, which is what John says at the end of verse 29. "This joy of mine is now complete." He's joyful because his work is done. And he wanted, well, what his disciples were confused over. He wanted everyone to go to Jesus and not to build his own following. Which leads us on to verse 30 and our key verse today, which is John must decrease and Jesus must increase. So John's work is done when the bride hears from the bridegroom. John's joy comes as people stop coming to him and start going to Jesus. And this exchange proves how true he was to this. Because rather than fear losing his remaining disciples, what John said should make them clear. They're still with the wrong guy. They need to be down the river with Jesus as well. So what can we learn from John's ministry? And I think the point is, because we can and should share in it. We also know the bridegroom and should be pointing people to him. And John the Baptist teaches us the best way to do this. And then this passage gives us the motivation as to why we should want to do this. So how does John teach us the best way to point to Jesus? Well, quite simply, we can do what John did, which is get out of the way and allow Jesus to speak with them. Be clear that no one needs to hear our voice, but to hear his. Which is why the best thing we can do with our colleagues is share the Bible with them. Bring them straight to Jesus. Being clear that we're not sharing the Bible to build our own following or to grow our own ministry, which is unusual today, isn't it, in the age of social media? We want to collect followers and friends and contacts. We'll put content online which is all about us, trying to gather as many people to hear from us as possible. But in this, we're trying to do the opposite. We need to show that Jesus and Jesus alone has all the answers, and they're all in his word. Which is why bringing someone into the word is the best way for us to decrease and Jesus to increase. And John the Baptist is so helpful with this, isn't he? Because if anyone might think he merits a following, or might think that they could talk someone into heaven, it would be John the Baptist. I mean, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus calls him the greatest prophet who ever lived. Yet despite this, John knows he can't save anyone. John knows for his followers to be saved, they have to leave him and go and listen to Jesus. So if John the Baptist needs to get out of the way and let Jesus speak, then we should be doing the same thing. And isn't this an encouragement? Because it takes all the pressure off us. The salvation of our colleagues doesn't depend on us, or our ability to answer questions, or to know all the apologetic arguments. It's not dependent on us having a sharp 3-minute testimony, or making a perfect declaration of the gospel. Don't get me wrong, these are all brilliant things to do, but I also know from experience they're all hard things to do. But also from my own experience, I've seen how much more effective it is to open up the Bible. Knowing the Bible has all the answers. Knowing the Bible is the greatest persuader. Knowing the Bible tells the most important testimony, that of Jesus Christ. And it perfectly declares the gospel. And as we read, turn the page, and chat about what it says, well, we bring people face to face with Jesus, knowing it's all about him and not about us. Knowing we can lean fully on him and his words. And let's face it, if John the Baptist needs to do this, and even Professor Lennox needs to do this as well, well, it's likely that we do too. So we must heed this lesson that allowing Jesus to speak is the best way to point people to him. But why? Why should we do it? Are we given any additional motivation to share the Bible? Well, I could see three in this passage. Firstly, in verse 27, the ministry we're given is a gift from God. Secondly, in verse 29, allowing people to hear from Jesus is what brings us joy. And thirdly, in verse 36, the reality of eternity. So firstly, John sees the ministry he's given as a gift from God. And without dwelling on this, I want to ask you the question, is this how you see the opportunities you have to point people to Jesus? The Lord has work for you to do in your offices, not as a burden, but as a gift from him. And I wonder if it would help us if we saw ministering to our colleagues as a gift from God. And then secondly, joy. John's joy was complete because people could hear straight from Jesus. And this same joy should motivate us, and can be ours too. So we should rejoice whenever our colleagues hear the voice of the bridegroom. Whenever I share the Bible with someone, regardless of whether I think I did a good job in sharing or whether I think it went terribly, I rejoice alone in the fact that my friend heard the words of God. Because Jesus alone utters the words of God. To see this, please look at verse 34. It says, "For he whom God sent utters the words of God." So if we've shared a passage of the Bible, we can rejoice knowing they've heard the words of God. And it's the words of God which will have all the power in salvation. Which brings us to our third motivation, the reality of eternity. So please look again at verse 36. Eternal life is on offer for those who believe in Jesus. But whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, and the wrath of God remains on them. Nearly everyone in our offices are under the wrath of God. And they're likely completely unaware. And their only hope of escape is belief in the Son. And their only hope of a glorious eternal future is through belief in the Son. Which means the most important thing we can do in our offices and for our colleagues is enable the Word of God to go out, for Jesus to increase and for us to decrease. So the big question I want to leave you with is, who in your office can you share the Bible with? Or actually, if you're here and you've never looked, who here could you ask to share the Bible with you? Thanks.
Thanks, Carl. We have got 2 minutes, so should we just... I think we're going to have, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to have some good time to think more practically. How would we go about this? You've got a sort of taster copy there. Do take that away with you and look at it yourself. Carl, I guess just sort of perhaps just one question before we close today.
Yeah.
How do you go about asking people? Because I guess that's probably quite a big sort of block in people's minds.
Yeah, thanks. I never give the answer that anybody wants to hear. I simply ask my colleagues, would you like to take a look at the Bible with me? I think the key thing is we're not trying to force this on anybody. We only want people to look if they want to have a look and they want to enjoy it. But I want to remove some of the barriers. So I will explain. Look, all I'm asking for is kind of 30 minutes with you. I'll buy you a cup of coffee. And I'll show them the notes and say, look, we're going to look at 18 sentences of a book called John. And it'll take about 30 minutes. And at the end, I'll ask you two questions. Did you enjoy that? And would you like to do it again? And I only want my colleagues to kind of keep reading with me, not because they feel obliged to, but because they're enjoying it and they want to keep going.
Great. Thank you very much, Carl, indeed, for joining us. So as I said, over the next couple of weeks, we're just going to be unpacking this and thinking about it. More. I guess a lot of you will have questions practically about how to do it. Carl's going to be sticking around. Do just come and talk to him. The other thing is that there's a sign-up sheet at the back there, just by the door, for a more interactive session with Carl. Just sort of with the notes open and just kind of going through how you might do this with someone. If you would like to do that, just put your name down and your email address. And we'll sort something out. But hopefully see you next week for some more of this. Carl, would you mind praying for us
Sure.
as we finish?
Sure. He must increase and we must decrease. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would be motivated by your word, by the glorious good news of that eternal future with you for those that are yours. So Lord, please, I pray that we would feel equipped and courageous enough to ask that question of those around us, would you like to take a look at the Bible with me? And Father, I pray that through that, some of those would be yours. For your glory. Amen.
Amen.